talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back and great to have you with us on this Friday. Our preview of the Big Ten Championship game continues. Matt LePay, the play-by-play voice of Wisconsin football in a moment. Jack Hamm in the final half hour today to get you ready for the Nittany Lions and Wisconsin tomorrow night. Our thanks to Heather Dinich of ESPN who joined us in the opening half hour today. Rich Scarcello, the Reading Eagle, was in our second half hour. You can check it out in the Steve Jones Show podcast. And in a few moments, Matt LePay, the play-by-play voice of Wisconsin football. Today's show brought to you by our great friends at Brewers Outlet. Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews. Best selection of beer anywhere. Stock up for the holidays. Stock up for the weekend of the Big Ten Championship game. Get gift cards because, look, we're counting down now. We're only 23 days until the Holly Jolly guy shows up, okay? So you might as well get the gift cards and start giving them out, and everybody's going to love a gift card from Brewers Outlet. Also, they have great snacks, water, soda, wine coolers. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. The bags are right there at the register. Really well laid out store with so much help to get the cases to the car and free parking. And the pickle bar is second to none. You all know, you can repeat with me now. Here goes Steve. He loves the dills. He loves the barrels. That's all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day. He was just named the Sports Illustrated Sportsman of the Year. Last night, a windmill jam from LeBron James.
Pass from Reddick, battled away, recovered by Bob. Oh, stolen by James.
Thank you for the flashback. You know that he's saving his energy. He just wants to win a championship. A way to give us the Dominique windmill off the one leg.
Marv Albert and the call of Chris Webber last night on TNT, the windmill from LeBron James. Now let's bring in the outstanding play-by-play voice of Wisconsin football and basketball. This will be his fourth Big Ten championship game he's announced. He's announced Final Fours along the way. He's had a great, great career. He's also one of the voices of the Milwaukee Brewers. When Brian Anderson moves over and does what he does with TNT and TBS, it's Matt filling in and doing a great job on Brewers baseball as well. Matt, welcome. Great to have you with us. You and I have had a lot of conversations over the years. And one thing that's always come out when we've talked about football, you've always been a big Paul Chryst guy. When he was the offensive coordinator, you were a big Paul Chryst guy. When they were looking for head coaches, you were hoping he'd be the guy. What is it about Paul Chryst that made you a big Paul Chryst guy?
I think what's impressed me is that he's a really smart guy and feels no need to walk into a room and prove that he's a really smart guy. He's so grounded, and you could tell probably within 30 seconds of talking to him how much he loves the game, how much he loves studying it, how much he loves meeting with his players and practicing with his players, and all that stuff that sounds cliche, but he's the anti-showman. He's as unassuming in a news conference as you could possibly be, but the players, they have a great deal of respect for him. I think they genuinely like him. It probably isn't that way all across a locker room. I don't know what coach has that, but more and more players will, without being asked, will tell you how much they like playing for him, and that's a pretty good compliment. And with all the transition that's gone on here, they haven't slipped, which is a tribute to the players. But it certainly is. It says a lot about Paul Chryst and his staff. I'm spoiled. I was hoping that this would happen, and better late than never. And I'm glad it has. And more importantly, it's really, really good for Wisconsin.
Brett Bielema to Gary Anderson, now to Paul. You referenced the transition. What are some steps that Paul Chryst has taken to mold the program and the image he feels it should be moving forward?
I think one of the things that he's done, Steve, is he's going back to the proven formula here. And I want to be careful how I put this. With Brett Bielema, they had great success, and he and Paul, I think, in some ways philosophically, are similar in that you need the big, tough offensive linemen, commitment to the weight room, recruit the state as hard as you can, recruit the states that border Wisconsin as hard as you can, branch out when you need to, and they've certainly done that for a while. When Gary was here, and he's someone who I think is a very good coach, and I like him, had a very good relationship with him, I think they were starting to drift a little bit from that. He and his staff, by and large, were unfamiliar with the state of Wisconsin, and I think some of the relationships were slipping with some of the high school coaches here. They knew the Western U.S., and they recruited some good players, but they recruited some guys who weren't quite the right fit for this program and this school. So Paul's going back to that. What worked for Barry, what worked for Brett, each has his own personality, but I think the common thread is they understand the kind of player that can fit here, the kind of student-athlete, if you want to term it that way, that will fit at Wisconsin, and knowing that you just need those big, strong, tough guys from the state, and then you branch out as you need to find certain skill position players if you have to do that, or whatever the case. You certainly, with his staff, there are certain areas of the country where they can hit, but they really have a commitment in-state and Illinois and Minnesota and Iowa when they can. And going back to that very unsexy workman-like formula that has worked here for quite a while.
Is T.J. Watt a perfect example of that legacy kind of player, in-state kind of player, ends up being really good player in his own right?
Yeah, and I think what's good about T.J. and that he has great pride in his brother J.J. and then Derek, who's a fullback with the Chargers. But T.J. is really into carving his own niche. He doesn't want to be – he's proud to be J.J.'s little brother, but he wants to be a lot more than that.
Yeah.
And this season he has gone about doing that. And I'll tell you another guy, Steve, a guy named Leo Musso.
Yeah.
Who's a free safety. I think most of us who are around this program every day figured it was a matter of time before they would, quote, recruit over him. And he's having a terrific year. He has made big play after big play. I give a ton of credit to him and also a lot of credit to the defensive backs coach, Jim Leonard, who was an All-American here, played a decade in the NFL. This is his first year as a college coach, and he has done a phenomenal job. But Musso would be one of those guys, too. And it's a pretty good list. You mentioned TJ and Leo Musso. They'd be pretty close to the top of that list.
Musso, in fact, in my opinion, on the interception in the end zone, baited Leitner into making that throw. That's a play only an experienced guy can make.
Yeah, Paul Chris mentioned, and it was, and I think with that play, that's a really good observation. Paul mentioned when I was talking to him before this game, might have even been before the previous game against Purdue, that Musso is really good at disguising a coverage, and he can give you a couple of different examples where nothing shows statistically for him, but he disguises a coverage enough. And if it's not Leo getting the pass broken up or the interception, someone else might. But in large part, it's caused by Musso because of his smarts, and he's got a toughness to him as well. So it's been this defense is really in ball hawking mode lately with the 11 interceptions in the last three games. They had four in the second half last week. They had 12 all of last year, Steve. So they're on a streak right now that is unfamiliar, probably since the Jim Leonard was a defensive back at Wisconsin and all the picks that he had.
I remember number 18 roaming around back there.
Yep.
He was a great punt returner. Oh my goodness, what a great punt returner he was, and a walk on, and he was a walk on if I remember correctly.
You are absolutely correct. They've had a pretty good tradition of walk-ons here. I know they didn't invent it, and they're not the only one who does it, but they've had, J.J. Watt was a walk-on transfer.
Yeah.
That worked pretty well. But Leonard, he's from a tiny town, northern part of the state, and you look at him, and he's a very unassuming-looking guy, but a terrific athlete when he played. There was always a lot of video when he was here of him dunking a basketball, and he's maybe 5'9". And the career he had in the NFL, he became known as the quarterback of the defense. That was how they introduced him when he was with the Jets. And he's smart. And what's interesting to me about him, Steve, and I think we've both been around this long enough, that no matter the sport, if something comes easily to you, the mental part of the game or any part of the game, it could really be hard to coach that.
Yes.
Or to teach that.
I've always felt
this
that.
This guy is able to do that. And I think the game, from a mental standpoint, comes easily to him. But he is able to teach it in a way. One of the players told me the thing that they like about him is he has great patience and great energy. He doesn't yell and scream. He'll be tough, but he has a way of teaching things and letting players figure it out, and always has a lot of energy every day in practice. But it's not that fake hustle kind of energy. I think it's genuine, and the players are understanding where he's coming from, and they're really performing for him at a high level.
One observation Jack Ham has had about the Wisconsin defense all season, and he's talking, the subject of the Wisconsin defense has actually come up several times this year because of some common opponents. He said, look, every time I look at them, they're never out of position. What has allowed them to be that kind of disciplined defense?
I think they've been good here for a few years defensively. Dave Aranda, when he was here, Gary Anderson brought him here, and then he was here last year under Paul Chris. The 3 years he was here, the players really took to him, played very well for him. It took a little while maybe to figure out some of the nuances of it, but they got to a point where they could just play fast. No matter what their 40 times are, they could get from point A to point B quickly. They just have an understanding, a full grasp of the defensive concepts that Aranda had. And then when Justin Wilcox came in this season after Aranda went to LSU, Wilcox was smart enough to know that he didn't need to reinvent the wheel. He has his own little wrinkles,
yeah.
But he didn't come here and overhaul the philosophical nature of how they play defense. So the players, I think, had a certain comfort level because what they were doing was working, and Wilcox is smart enough not to completely change it. So the players, even though it's a new coordinator, a lot of the defense is similar to what they've been playing. A tweak here and there, Jack would probably be able to pick up some differences far easier than I. But I think basically it's much the same, and the players are so well-schooled that by the time Saturday arrives, they just let it rip. And it's really, really been a good group from game one to where they are right now.
Other than one's a senior, one's a redshirt freshman, one's right-handed, one's left-handed, is there any discernible difference between Alex Hornibrook and Bart Houston? Oh, and the fact that Alex's sister goes to Penn State.
That's right. And his uncle is Ben Davis, who works now, as you probably know, Phillies television. I think one of the differences is Bart probably has, to keep the baseball analogy, probably has a better fastball. He can whip it in there pretty quickly with the intermediate throws. I wouldn't call him a running quarterback, but they will use him on some read plays occasionally or just straight runs, where with Hornibrook they don't do that. And even though statistically, if you look at completion percentage, Hornibrook's isn't that high, I think over time we'll all find out, or everybody else will find out, what we get to see watching him practice, that he probably has a little more accurate arm with the deeper throws. He throws a really pretty ball. Those are probably the two biggest differences. It's worked. That old line about if you have two quarterbacks, you have none. Mm-hmm. Well, in this case, it's running counter to that, because collectively the statistics have improved measurably since the Iowa game, which was five games ago, whatever, when they started doing the tag team quarterback combined, they're completing better than 60%. Combined, there have only been two interceptions, but it also should be noted they have run the ball better as well, and that started with the Ohio State game. The first five games they were struggling running the football. They have been considerably better from the Ohio State game on, and that's allowed them, I think, Steve, to throw the old line a little more when they want to, as opposed to when they have to.
Yeah, Matt, you've obviously been privy to watching and had the perfect seat to watch some of the truly great running attacks in college football in one place, Wisconsin. And I mean, you've covered Heisman Trophy winners. I mean, done their games. What makes this trio in combination with this offensive line a good complement to the history of Wisconsin running attacks?
Yeah, it's a good word. It's a good word. It's not a great running team, but it's becoming a good running team. The offensive line is young, and they were banged up quite a bit early in the season. They were rotating offensive linemen in a way not unlike how D-lines rotate, which you expect that defensively, not so much on the offensive line. But they started to grow into it. They've made it work. They haven't had to rotate as much the past few weeks. They've gotten a little bit better. They've gotten a little bit stronger. Corey Clement, this is the first year that really Corey has been the feature back.
Right.
Last year was a wipeout year for him, and the year before he's behind Melvin Gordon. But he has grown into the role. Again, from the Ohio State game on, he's been on a pretty good clip. Dari Ogunbowale, you still have a few days to rehearse that. He's been a good runner, good solid runner. He catches the ball well out of the backfield. Past couple games they've used him a little bit in the screen game, and he seems to be well suited for that. Player to watch is number 7.
Oh, Shaw.
He's come on, and he's only a redshirt freshman.
I think in the end, when you look at the full body work, he might be the best of the three when his career's over.
I agree. He would early in the year he would get 1 carry, 2 carries, but they would be important carries.
Right.
They'd move the sticks, or it would set up 2nd and 4. And then in the Iowa game, they started feeding him a little bit more. And if the situation warrants it, he can get 10 or 15 or maybe a few more carries per game. He's from Birmingham, Alabama, and is a very, very promising talent. And then there's a transfer from Pitt, who is sitting out this year, Chris James,
right,
who will be likely in the rotation next year. So they should be able to keep this going, the tradition of tailbacks here. It's been... last year was a little more committee. Ogunbowale did what he could and did a very good job in leading the team in rushing. This year, again, especially the last 7 games, we're starting to see glimpses of that traditional Wisconsin rushing attack. Yeah. Not at the level where the best teams have been, but trending in the right direction.
It's a great 50-50 game. I look forward to seeing you on Saturday night, my friend.
Yeah, always, Steve. I'm glad you're finally meeting again. This expanded Big Ten is robbing us of some trips to Madison and then to State College, but can't say enough how impressed. There's how smart I am, man. I thought early in the year that Penn State just wasn't very good, which shows you my great intelligence. And I think after I said that, they haven't lost since. So they're fun to watch. As Paul said, until this week.
until this week, well, let me put it this way. If you want to know the long list of things that I haven't been right about, we could be here for 8 days. So. And that's using all 24 hours of the 8 days.
it's good to see that the good guys can get to Indy. You know, you're not to the Penn State.
So that's right.
I look forward to seeing you, and travel safe. And you're right. I think it's a coin toss game, and that's the way it should be in a Big Ten championship.
Hey, thanks so much, Matt. I look forward to seeing you.
All right, Steve, my pleasure. We'll see you this weekend.
Matt LePay, the play-by-play voice of Wisconsin football. Coming up in the final half hour, we'll have Jack Hamm and his perspective on the Nittany Lions' journey to the Big Ten championship game and his analysis of the Penn State-Wisconsin matchup. That's in the final half hour of the show today. Cowboys won again last night. Rally beat the Minnesota Vikings. I mean, he held the Vikings without a touchdown last night. But the Cowboys continue to win. That's 11 wins in a row as they beat the Vikings last night at the beautiful dome in Minneapolis. Tonight, it'll be the Pac-12 championship game. Washington, 4th in the college football playoff poll, taking on Colorado, Levi's Stadium in Santa Clara. Then tomorrow, the big championship day, Florida and Alabama in the SEC title game at the Georgia Dome. Temple will take on Navy in the American Championship game tomorrow. The MAC Championship game, of course, is coming up. That includes Western Michigan. Coming up tomorrow, the Bedlam game, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State. Tomorrow night, opposite the Big Ten Championship game, will be Virginia Tech and Clemson. Clemson is 3rd in the college football playoff poll. And, of course, at 8 o'clock tomorrow night at Lucas Oil Stadium, the Nittany Lions will take on Wisconsin in the Big Ten Championship game. Airtime 6:30 here on your home for Penn State football, News Radio 1070 WKOK. Coming up in the final half hour of the show, brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, we'll have Jack Hamm my working partner for the last 17 seasons on the Penn State Sports Network. We'll get his perspective on the Nittany Lion football season, and he'll break down the Penn State-Wisconsin matchup. From the Sunbury Motors Studio, Sunbury Motors 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
True refreshment can come in many forms. But it can only be found in one place, the Beverage Supermarket. Brewers Outlet in Sunbury. Along with their great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, they have lots of water, soda, fresh roasted peanuts, and an unbelievable variety of pickles at the Pickle Bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and your favorite snacks too. Get true refreshment all in one place. The Beverage Supermarket. Brewers Outlet in Sunbury.
Saving money on your next vehicle is as easy as SMC. Sunbury Motor Company. Since 1915, SMC provides total commitment to complete customer satisfaction. Sunbury Motor sells and services new Fords, Lincolns, and Hyundais in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And new Kias on the Golden Strip in Hummel's Wharf. No one beats Sunbury Motor Company's lowest price promise. Check them out at SunburyMotors.com. SMC, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Final half hours, we get you ready for the Big Ten Championship game tomorrow night at 8 o'clock at Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis, the Nittany Lions and Wisconsin. You'll hear it right here on your home for Penn State football and your home for the Big Ten Championship game. News Radio 1070 WKOK. Airtime 6:30 tomorrow night. Kickoff is set for 8 o'clock. In just a few moments, my broadcast partner for the last 17 years and hopefully many, many more, Jack Hamm will join us to talk about the game. We'll talk about Penn State's journey to the Big Ten Championship game, and then Jack will break down Penn State and Wisconsin and the matchups in tomorrow night's game. Today's show is brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. Imports, domestics, and microbrews, they have the best selection of beer anywhere. Now's the time to stock up for the weekend. Now's the time to stock up for the holidays. You may want to bring something with you to a get-together, or people may be coming to your place. You want to make sure you're ready and fully stocked for it. Also, people love wine coolers. They love water, soda. They have all of that and much more. Snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar is second to none and makes a great touch on a weekend and makes a great touch at any party. You know I love the barrels. You know I love the dills. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. Proud to be in the Sunbury Motors studio. It's a great time of the year to go out and buy yourself a car. Now, there's a Christmas gift of all holiday gifts right there. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Happy holidays from them to you, and happy holidays from me to them. They have a great staff over there at Sunbury Motors. All right, time now for the Sports Bozo of the Day. And the Sports Bozo of the Day does go to Draymond Green. Last night, the Warriors lost in double overtime to the Houston Rockets. And in that game, Draymond Green's reputation got him. With 2:10 left in the game, Green was fouled underneath the basket by Rockets guard James Harden while attempting a putback layup. But on his way down from elevating, Green's right foot flailed upwards. We've seen that before. And hit Harden in the face. After reviewing the play, officials ruled it a flagrant one, rewarding Houston 2 free throws. It was crucial in the game. The Warriors were down 3. Green went to the charity stripe, split his pair of free throws. Harden then took his turn and knocked down both, eventually in double overtime. The Rockets beat the Warriors 132-127. It appears that Green's kicking reputation got the best of him, and it benefited the Rockets in last night's game, our Sports Bozo of the Day. Very proud to work side-by-side for the last 17 seasons with Jack Hamm and many more to come. I am the single most fortunate play-by-play guy in the industry because I get to work alongside Jack, and we have seen it all. We've seen, obviously, the great moments like Big Ten championships in 05 and 08. We've obviously had to chronicle all the tough times here as well, and now this season has come along. Jack, welcome. It is always a pleasure and a privilege, my friend.
It's good to be here, and you're right. It's been a lot of ups and downs throughout the course of our broadcasting career up here, and it's good to see this football team on a roll like it is right now.
Jack, one of the things that I've mentioned on the show is I think that when it comes to other commentary across the country, this is new through no fault of their own, I don't think they know a lot about Penn State. That's the sense I'm getting, because they weren't in that core group in August that people were looking at as being a contender.
Well, I would agree with you there, Steve. I think the idea of the depth that we now have on a football team, that we could withstand the injuries at linebacker early in the year, and also the offensive line here going through this in the latter part of the year. And if you want to put together an eight-game winning streak like Penn State has been able to do, you better have backup players who just don't come in and fill in, but they come in and play at a high level as well. And we were able to get that. And I think in the linebacking core especially, I think all of a sudden we have some experience back there right now and a solid rotation. And it seems like we're doing that a lot on that defense, keeping guys fresh in the third and fourth quarter. And I think a lot of people don't realize that we're starting to get some depth on this football team, and it can only get better.
Jack, when it comes to linebacker, I want to tap into what you're seeing out there. Bell and Cabinda obviously get back in the lineup. A, what have they done? And B, what do you think the domino effect has been because of what they've done?
Well, I think it's a combination of things. I think, number one, I think the physical play, especially of Cabinda and Bell at some point as well. And also, I mean, Cabinda is kind of like the vocal leader out there on that team. And he is very demonstrative out there on the field and getting people into the right gaps of the defensive line, calling plays out, calling checks out if you're changing defense as well. And it just gave him that kind of a presence out there. Right? And I don't think we had that physical presence. And all of a sudden, he gets back in the lineup along with Bell. And not in a game where you can kind of ease into it. Get him back in a game with Ohio State. And that, I thought that was phenomenal, way both of those guys played in that game in a crucial situation against that Ohio State offense. It was just how well they played and how many plays they played was just phenomenal to me. And they have not missed a beat from that Ohio State game on.
Now there's the other part. There have been other injuries that have happened at linebacker. And you miss a guy like Naeem Ortman-White, who we all know is a quality guy, quality player. But in terms of the pure athleticism, by getting Manny Bowen in there and playing all the time and Koa Farmer playing as often as he has with Brandon Smith, what did that do for the athleticism of the linebackers?
Well, that's the key. I think the more speed you have out on the field, on the defensive side of the ball, the better your defense is going to be. That's been kind of a standard all the way down the line. And Farmer and Bowman, I think, probably took advantage of the injuries more than any other linebackers out there. All of a sudden, you saw Manny Bowen, timing up a blitz coming off the edge. I mean, making good tackles in open field. He ran a jet sweep, which Pitt hurt us early in the year in the second game of the season. Now you have guys containing it outside and Manny Bowen coming from the inside making plays in open field. Those things, which is like on-the-job training kind of thing, and he was able to get a lot of that experience out there. And you could just see him developing as a player. Brandon Smith is another good example of how well he has played when Cabinda was out of the lineup. We were worried about this linebacking core going into the season and how deep we were. With all that has happened in that linebacking core, I think we come out of this season at a very solid position in there with a bunch of guys who can play.
We wondered what would happen with the defensive line. When you lose three quality players like Zettel, Johnson, and Nassim, you have to wonder. When you look at the rotation, Jack, what are they bringing to the table that makes them an effective defensive front?
Well, I think they're effective for a number of reasons. I think going into this year, I think we're kind of concerned about the physical play in the Big Ten. Can we hold up against the run? Well, you saw what they did against a very physical team like Iowa and really controlled the line of scrimmage and those short yardage plays that Iowa had run. But plus, I think our offense has helped this defense as well. We're playing with a lead in the third and fourth quarter where our defensive end, Schwann on one side and Sickles on the other and Brown as well, can get that speed rush up the field. And there's another guy, Brown, I think is really – as this season's gone on, we talk about each player, how much they're getting better now at the tail end of the season. I think Torrence Brown's another great example of that, getting pressure up the field, causing sacks, batting balls down. I mean, that, again, we have a rotation there, which we didn't even dream about having before this season came around with how deep we are at defensive line.
When you and I have broadcast games involving a guy like Jordan Lewis or a guy like Conley, we've talked about the effectiveness of a cover corner and what he can do for the rest of the defense. Has John Reed migrated in that direction?
No, he has. I think if you talk about one of the best defensive players on that field, it's got to be John Reed. He has just been solid. I mean, he just understands how to play. And you know what, Steve? I mean, he had this last year as a true freshman. I mean, he had that kind of ability to realize when the ball is coming, turn back so you don't get the pass interference calls. He doesn't, as Franklin said, he doesn't jam that much at the line of scrimmage, but he reminds me of the guy from the New York Jets, Revis.
Terrell Revis, yeah.
Terrell Revis, who just kind of turns and runs with him, cuts the guy off or pins him along the sideline. I mean, you don't normally see that last year as a freshman, and he took that experience from his freshman year and just made himself into an outstanding corner in the Big Ten.
Right. Offensively, when you watch Trace McSorley as a quarterback, in this system, what kind of feel do you think he has for the game?
Well, I'm surprised, Steve, that he has this type of a feel so early in implementing this new offense. This Reed offense is something that it takes time to do that, and you don't get that at spring ball, and you don't get that at preseason camp. You get that by playing it for a period of time and getting the feel of it out on the field. And, the way early in the year where he was coughing the football up and we're worried about ball security with him, and now he's at the point right now where he's reading, making great plays, where he's looking downfield. He pops out of that pocket where he can't have the ability to run. Running is a secondary for him. He's looking to get a big play down to one of his wide receivers or his tight end like you got it to Gesicki. His decision-making, Steve, I think is really, when you have an inexperienced quarterback coming in there and starting this year, you're going to have a lot of bumps along the way. But I'll tell you one thing, he has picked up the system very quickly, and he's got that poise in the pocket and a good feel for when he needs to get out of there that I didn't think that would come until next year.
All right, Barkley, you and I both know that he has been a marked guy all season. Where have you seen an improvement in Saquon Barkley as a running back, Jack?
Well, I think the key last week against Michigan State, we're talking about, coming out and throwing the football as much as McSorley did in the second half. And I said, the offensive line did a good job of protection for McSorley. Well, when I talk about the protection, I'm talking about Barkley as well. I mean, that's something he has said in interviews that he needed to work on to get better at. He's very physical at 220, and he's not out there trying to cut a linebacker or cut a defensive back. You saw in the blitz the other day where he picked up the corner coming off that edge. That's a quick, athletic guy, but he stoned him right there and gave McSorley time to get the football downfield to Godwin for the touchdown. Those are those little things. He can do all. He can catch the ball. He's run with the football. But you want to work on your weaknesses. If that was one for him, well, it's turning into quite a strength for him right now.
As someone who had to cover a lot of pass plays, how tough was it when you had a running back built like him that could run pass routes?
Well, that's usually a mismatch, and you would always be key to that. But, I go back to my era, it would be a Greg Pruitt who played in Cleveland, who was at Oklahoma. So quick off the ball. I mean, Barkley is so much bigger than he was. But that is a real issue for an outside linebacker, especially. And if you have to scrape in, middle linebacker has to pick him up, that is truly a mismatch. But that doesn't normally happen. But you got to take angles on him. I mean, a linebacker trying to cover him. We saw it so many different times on that wheel route. He is wide open downfield because he ran a 4.38. So a linebacker is probably running about a 4.7, maybe a 4.6 at best, and taking an angle where you cannot cut him off. That Barkley is so good at that wheel route and also running option routes as well. That's a true mismatch. And I'll tell you what, as a linebacker, you can't hide out there because you can't cover this. It will go back to that, especially like on a 3rd and 5, 3rd and 7 situation where Barkley can come out of that backfield and make a linebacker, give him a move, get to the flat or get to the middle of the field, and it's wide open, and it's an easy throw for McSorley.
What has the consistency of Mike Gesicki meant to the offense?
Well, you know what, Steve? I think we've been waiting for this for a couple of years.
Yeah, we have.
And we saw the talent that he had in preseason camp. And for some players, that you don't make the transition from what you do in practice into the game, and that gets to be very frustrating, I'm sure, for coaches. And he had some drops, wide open last year in middle of the field, and then all of a sudden that thing got compounded, and he just really did not really get out of that for the entire season. This year now, McSorley looking for him. They made a couple of big plays by breaking out of the pocket, finding Gesicki downfield, and now we see him making a jump ball catch for a touchdown with two defenders almost on top of him on the play. That confidence that he has right now, where McSorley is looking for the tight end more and more, that opens it up for Godwin, that opens it up for Hamilton, would open up for Barkley as well. So that's, right now I think offensively in the passing game, I thought the wide receivers would be getting open. But Gesicki, I think, has been the really bright spot of that passing game.
All right, let's get to Wisconsin. Every time that you and I have looked at Wisconsin, you said the same thing to me about their defense. Steve, they're never out of position. What do you see overall as to why that defense is effective?
Well, I think it's discipline on defense. I think, they run that 3-4 defense, and that's the thing our offensive line is going to have to be concerned with. But they are never out of position, and you will earn the yards, whether you're trying to run the football or throw the ball downfield. You had a veteran secondary back there. They had linebackers who can run. They are great off the edge as pass rushers. And we're going to have to get those guys blocked. Plus the fact in that 3-4 defense, you never know who's coming, which one off the edge. Maybe both of them will be coming. That's our offensive line going to have to handle that. But they're disciplined, Steve. One of the examples was that 3-4 defense. I saw them run a couple of times where the quarterback's going to hold the ball a little bit longer. Those guys took themselves out of position. They just stayed in their lanes downfield and covered, crossing routes. And you have to be disciplined to do that. I give them a lot of credit. This has been outstanding defense with a lot of veteran guys back there who just know how to play. And like I said, we will earn every yard we get on Saturday night.
Yeah, no question about that. Yet they're in a division that doesn't throw the ball well. I would think that's an accurate statement, right? They're in the division where really nobody throws the ball well except for Purdue, and they don't have the horses to really pull it off. Does that factor into any of this at all?
It does. I think if we, Penn State, I think we'll have difficulty running the football because so many teams have made sure that Barkley does not beat you. Although on this indoors this week and on turf like that, He could really make some severe cuts if his ankle is in fact 100%. But they haven't been challenged in a passing game downfield because the offensive line hadn't had the protection for them, and second, as we mentioned, there's not a lot of good passing offenses in that division over there, and I think Penn State will be the first one they've seen in a long time. So we'll challenge them in places they have not been challenged all season. Even in the crossover game, they played Michigan, who really does not have a strong passing game as well. And so this is going to be one of the keys to the game, I'm sure, is going to be whether how well we protect for McSorley and then take the football and try to throw the ball downfield against that secondary.
Jack, you and I have gone week by week. So every time you and I have turned around, it's been, okay, what's next? Okay, well, Purdue's done. Okay, so what's next is Iowa. Okay, Iowa's done. What's next is going to Indiana. Have you had a chance just to sit back for a moment and absorb what we've actually witnessed, especially the timing of it?
Yeah. See, I'm still awed by this. Obviously, if you look at the numbers, this Penn State football team next year, should be, they've got a lot of players coming back. It's a young football team. I sat back, but I go back to a couple of games, which would have been either the Minnesota game for one or Indiana when we're down by 10 in that second half. We are a young football team just doesn't keep the poise like that. You end up trying to make a play that you shouldn't, stay disciplined on defense. And because you're down by 10, you think you got to make a big play. These guys did not panic. They kept their poise. And the key for me was the Minnesota game, how we weren't playing well. We ended up winning that football game. And then the Indiana game as well. You knew we'd be up for Ohio State and Iowa and those teams. But Minnesota and Indiana, I think, were keys, early for Minnesota, where we made plays to get back in the game and win it in overtime. And then Indiana, where we knew we were going to be in a dogfight. We were now a marked team because people weren't looking past Penn State anymore. And we know how good Indiana is on offense. So that was a key game, especially when we come back from being down 10.
Partner, it's been quite a ride. All right.
Well, we got to continue it again here right now for one more game and then the bowl game.
You got that right. Exactly right. I will see you Friday.
All right, Steve. Take care.
All right. Thanks, Jack. My broadcast partner for the last 17 seasons, Jack Ham, with many more to come. It's always a pleasure and a privilege to work side by side with him. And the two of us have seen it all over the last 17 years. We have seen it all, believe me. And now to have this happen at this particular moment. But you know what? The moment is at hand. It's a championship game tomorrow night. And I go back to an observation I made at the beginning of the show in the opening half hour of the show. When I went to practice this week, I was looking for one thing and one thing only. What was their approach? Were they just happy to be there? And believe me, you can tell. Or were they all business and locked in on trying to win it? And that winning meant everything to them. Well, this team is not happy-go-lucky. They were all business this week. All business. Locked in. Focused. There was no sign at all that they were just happy to be there. That was a great sign to see. 8 o'clock tomorrow night. 6:30 the airtime for the pregame show on your home for Penn State football, News Radio 1070 WKOK. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. From the Sunbury Motors Studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. I'm Steve Jones. Talk to you tomorrow night from Indianapolis.